It's the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Daily Fantasy Sports got a mention in the GOP debate last night and also has been in the news in the last few weeks because with all those DraftKings and FanDuel commercials on TV, they also found themselves with a little bit of a problem with some employees being accused of insider trading or using inside information to bet on Daily Fantasy Sports on one of the other sites. And so the industry has decided it needs to do something about this and perhaps self-regulate before politicians decide that government should get involved. And so it has set up something called the Fantasy Sports Control Agency. And my brother Seth, the former U.S. Secretary of Labor, joins us now because he is in charge of that agency. I guess I should say hello, Mr. Commissioner.
Well, we haven't figured out a title just yet, but thank you very much. Good morning.
Yeah, nice to have you on. Well, why did they set this up? Am I right that it's to keep the lawmakers from regulating it?
Well, I think the recent activity among regulators and a lot of the press attention has certainly galvanized the industry's focus, gotten their attention. But I think there's based on my conversations with people across the industry, there is a widespread recognition that the industry has grown up and that the game has changed. They're now a multi-billion dollar industry. They have tens of millions of players across the United States and Canada. They have very high profile, iconic industry partners like the sports leagues and a lot of high profile media companies. And they're in the public consciousness in a very big way. And so I know from my conversations that people in the industry understand that it's now time for them to take responsibility and to put themselves forward as an industry that really is concerned with the players' best interests.
This has been something that people have been doing for a long time, and only in recent years have these tech companies like DraftKings and FanDuel and actually a couple of hundred others gotten involved in and made it possible for people to bet on fantasy sports on a daily basis as opposed to the old days when somebody would set up a rotisserie league at the beginning of the season with their players and watch it evolve. Has this just been a classic case of technology getting ahead of the law?
Well, certainly technology has contributed to the dramatic growth of the industry, and the technology has advanced, as it has in a lot of parts of our lives, really rapidly. And so you see the development of not merely fantasy sports providers, not really merely the folks who offer games, but you see a long list of companies that are providing very sophisticated data analytics to help players make their choices of which players they're going to play in a particular game, which players they're going to have on their team, which they should draft. So, I think the technology has made a huge difference and has contributed to the growth of the industry very dramatically, just like you're seeing in entertainment and in other parts, in sports and other parts of the world.
Last night, as I mentioned, the topic of daily fantasy sports was brought up by one of the moderators of CNBC at the GOP debate, and Jeb Bush answered it, and then Chris Christie essentially said, look, this is ridiculous that we're talking about this. If people want to play, let them play. Did that make you happy?
Well, I got to say, I was very surprised by Governor Bush's response. It's not often you see a conservative Republican saying, yeah, I guess we're going to have to regulate a growing industry. Governor Christie, I think, reflects the view of a lot of folks in the industry, although with a slight modification. It's not that they're saying, hey, it's completely irresponsible for government to get involved. We can't figure it out. Obviously, and I've served in government for 12 of the last 22 years, government officials are trying to represent the interests of their constituents. They're trying to protect the players who are their constituents from getting ripped off, from being treated unfairly, from unethical or illegal conduct. What the industry understands is that they really need to make common purpose with that goal of the regulators. They really need to be focused on preventing unethical, illegal, and irresponsible conduct. And so that's the idea behind this control agency, is to put a set of standards in place to get the companies to put internal controls and processes in place that will ensure compliance with the standards, to audit the companies to make sure that they're doing what they say that they are going to do, and then for the small number of folks who just are not going to comply to have some kind of an enforcement mechanism. All of that is designed to serve the same goal that regulators are talking about, which is to make sure that players are treated fairly and ethically and honestly.
That sounds like the sort of stuff you did when you were, in effect, the chief operating officer of the Labor Department.
Well, it's similar. I think that's part of the reason why I was asked to take on this responsibility is I spent 5 years leading the Labor Department and overseeing the work of about a half dozen regulatory and enforcement agencies and dealing with complex legal and ethical issues and also interacting with a broad array of stakeholders. So I have some experience, at least from the government side, in doing this kind of work. And also, I think one of the reasons that the folks in the industry pick me is that they know that, you know, one more title, one more job isn't what I need to pad my resume. I mean, when you've sat in the front row of the State of the Union address, you know, one more title in the private sector really isn't going to make all the difference in the world.
Right.
So they like the idea of my being independent and bringing this background to this task.
How much power will you have to actually enforce whatever self-regulation the industry agrees to?
Well, the control agency is going to be independent. The heart of the effort is going to be a certification process. So for the companies that are audited and the audits show that they're in compliance with the standards and that they have controls and processes that bring them into compliance with the standards, we'll give them something like a good housekeeping seal of approval that says, yep, this is a company that has the systems in place to have honesty, integrity, and fairness in their games. That certification, that seal of approval, is going to have a lot of market value. Players are going to look for it. Investors are going to look for it. Certainly the press is going to look for it. And I think the public is going to look for it. So our control over that seal will give us a tremendous amount of authority to get the companies to do the right thing.
As you know, the industry has been hit with something like 24 lawsuits in the last 3 weeks, ever since the information came out about the insider information that was being used by employees at DraftKings and FanDuel. And you also have the state of Nevada, ironically, probably the most liberal state when it comes to gambling and all sorts of other things, being the first to ban daily fantasy sports. And at least a dozen other states are looking at following their lead. Can you get in there and do this quickly enough to stop that?
Well, the goal isn't necessarily to get government officials to not do that which they think is most important. But the goal really is to be able to communicate to folks in government, first of all, that they are stakeholders in this process, that we want to know what their concerns are, we want to hear what their ideas are, we want to put a system in place that they believe is going to be a reliable, trustworthy system for ensuring that the industry is fair and honest and has integrity. But I think once we've engaged that effort and communicated to the to folks in government that this really is a sincere effort and we put the system in place and it actually is preventing bad conduct, irresponsible conduct, the hope is the government will say, you know, we've got really limited resources. And, you know, again, from my time in government, every civil enforcement agency feels like they don't have enough resources to do the job that their legislature has charged them with. We're hoping they'll take their limited resources and focus them in places where it's really needed, where there's real risk to their constituents. If we can eliminate that risk or significantly reduce that risk in our industry, then that's the pitch that we're going to make to government, really that there are other problems that they should be worrying about.
Now you know why we call him the smart Harris. That's my brother Seth, the former acting Secretary of Labor and now the head of the new Fantasy Sports Control Agency. Thanks for coming on this morning, Seth. Say hi to my nephews.
I will. Thank you.